I'd ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Do you like Christmas cards? Sure you do. You go to the mailbox and you open it and you just get so excited when you see one, right? You just think, all right, this is neat. And I have some thoughts from some Christmas cards that I've received from the past as way of introduction to our message today. The first one says, Jesus, he came not to a throne, but a manger. He lived not as a king, but as a servant. He chose not an earthly kingdom, but a cross. He gave not a little, but everything. Words by Holly Girth. Another one said, Jesus Christ, he is the gift we receive, the love we share, the song we sing, the hope we cherish. I think that has a really nice sermon right there. A third one was, search no longer for the perfect Christmas gift. It has already been given. Isn't that a true statement? Wonderful. Yesterday, I wanted to get something, and I went over to Bath, Bed, and Beyond. Whatever that one is. Over here off Delco. You been there? Don't go on a Saturday. I was only 87th in line. I exaggerate just a tad, but wow. But the giving of gifts, it's a good thing, isn't it? God sent us a Savior. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was redemption. So God sent us a Redeemer. Isn't that great? I love it. Jeremiah 10:6. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. His name, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Great I Am, the Wonderful Counselor, the Anointed One, the Alpha and Omega. The bread of life, Jesus. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. The Word was made flesh. Shall we stand together, if you would? 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, and we'll read down through verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation or your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that we've been able to read today that glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at these words today, Lord, as a continuation of the introduction, Lord, may we never forget how that you were willing to travel from heaven's throne to a mother's womb, to be born, to die, that we may have salvation. We thank you, Lord, for that journey that was done on our behalf. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Last week, we saw that we were a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are children of the King and a holy nation. Philippians 3:20 tells us that we are citizens of heaven. Do you look forward to that next part of your life? Absolutely. A peculiar people. May I say this? It's a privilege that comes with a great responsibility that we are to reveal the praises of God to a lost and dying world. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, we live in a dark and sinful world, but darkness can never put out the light. Do you realize that? All the darkness of the universe cannot put out the light. The light still shines. In verse 11, we are told this, that dearly beloved, I beseech you, or I implore you, I plead with you, I petition you, as strangers and pilgrims. If you look up the word pilgrims in the thesaurus, you come up the word travelers. Travelers. And I say this to you this morning. The Christmas story is truly about travelers. Take your Bibles and quickly turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We'll also be going to the book of Luke shortly. But Matthew chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together and was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. I'll give you a moment to say amen there. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now over to the book of Luke. And may I encourage you on Christmas morning, or whenever you open your Christmas gifts, take time to read one of the Christmas stories, either from the book of Matthew or the book of Luke. Because after all, it is his birthday that we are celebrating. And I don't think it takes or hurts to take a few moments to read from the scriptures. Oh, I know the gifts are there, and if you have children, they can become antsy, but get them used to being antsy. Because the fact is, the Word of God is important, and it is a gift that we all should cherish. But the book of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. That's important that he was of the house and lineage of David. But also Mary was. Though they came through different sons of King David, they both could trace their heritage back to royalty. So we find that Joseph also went up from Galilee into the city of Bethlehem. Now, I do not know if he had ever been to Bethlehem. Maybe he had been there on other times. We are not told. But this time, being it is a time of travelers, he takes his very pregnant wife on a journey of some 90 miles. Ladies, how would you like to travel 90 miles pregnant on a donkey? Doesn't that sound exciting? I don't know. Then we find in Luke chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, that Mary also was traveling. And it says in verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And while they were there, was her mother there? Most likely she was not. But she could have been. How would you ladies like to give birth and your mother's not there? I mean, it's kind of nice to have her there, right? I mean, I remember when Donna had our first child, we were in Texas, and Donna's mother flew down from Michigan, and she was there for when Matthew came. It's kind of nice when the mother's there, but where was her mother? We're not sure. But she also had to travel, and it had to be a great discomfort for her to have to do this. But then we find that the angels traveled. The angels traveled, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to what? All people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I don't know if there are going to be replays in heaven. I don't know if there's going to be special times that we have read about in the Old Testament and the New Testament, which we are going to be able to see a video clip. But I would like to see that particular episode where first the angel declares who has come, and then the angels come and they praise God, singing. I can see it in heaven now. They say, volunteers to go and praise the Lord. I can imagine a whole host saying, I'll go. We need to be willing to volunteer, right? To bring honor and glory to our Lord. What a thought. But we find also that the shepherds traveled. Do you find it interesting that the angel said, and ye shall find. In other words, you're going to have to go. Because he's not coming here. You're going to go there. Being at verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They said, let's do this. Can I ask you a question? How many times have you said, let's do this, and you didn't do it? Would you agree? You read something in the newspaper and you said, oh, that sounds exciting. I think I'd like to do that. But then Something came in the way, and you didn't go. The shepherd said, let's go. Let's go. You know, when it comes to serving the Lord, let's not say let's go and leave it at that. Let us do what? Go. Let us do it. Notice what it says, verse 16. And they came with what? Haste. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Not now. I mean, not later, but now. Do it. So how did they know where to find Joseph and Mary? How did they know? Now, someone may say, well, the star didn't shine yet. The star was coming later. There was no star at Bethlehem on the day Christ was born. And I know that sometimes it's in our pictures and different ideas have been given, but the star is going to lead the wise men there. The shepherds came. Now, my personal opinion, they knew where to go. Because there outside of Bethlehem is a place that they raise the ceremonial lambs for the temple worship. And they thought, well, what better place for Jesus to be born than there where the ceremonial lambs are born. And there you will find him laying in a manger. Now that's my personal thinking. And if you don't agree, well, you'll find out later I was right. Go ahead. You can laugh. The book of Matthew chapter 1. Book of Matthew chapter 1. The wise men traveled. Let me tell you something. You know what I think about the star? I think the star appeared the day Jesus was born. And the wise men said, there's his star. And they followed it. Now that's my personal feeling. Again, you may say, Pastor Paul, you're nuts. Just don't tell it to my face. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen, what? His star in the east and are come to worship him. They have come, we as pilgrims and strangers in this world, this is not our final home. We have a far greater place awaiting us. For Jesus said that he had gone before to prepare us mansions, that there is a better place awaiting us. And what a glorious thought that is. But here we find that they came asking uncomfortable questions. You know, it's uncomfortable to ask somebody, if you die today, where will you spend eternity? I'm amazed at how many people don't want to talk about religion. Ever find someone like that? You say to somebody, where do you go to church? Is that an innocent question? Where do you go to church? I'm amazed at how many people say, mind your own business. Or it's none of your business. Or I just go to church. Well, tell me where. Can I tell you this? If someone ever says to you, where do you go to church? Don't be embarrassed to say, I go to the Covenant Baptist Church. Don't be embarrassed. We ought to be glad that we can share that thought with somebody. You know, people aren't afraid to say they're Detroit Lion fans. And if that doesn't embarrass somebody, yeah. You know, they say they're Wolverine fans or Spartan fans. We ought to say, hey, I'm a child of the King. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven. Not because of anything I have done, but because of what He has done. What He has done. So the wise men traveled. Well, the star traveled. The star led them from the east to where they are now in Jerusalem. And they have lost the star. I don't know how you lose a star. But let's begin reading at verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They followed the star. And they say, Pastor, do you believe that God could create a star that would travel and direct them? Absolutely, don't you believe it? Didn't he create the sun? And it is only one of billions of stars. We're going to be showing you a video in a few weeks about the universe. And the further our telescopes go out and send back pictures, we realize that the universe is mammoth. It is huge. Far greater than what they would have known back then, because they didn't have the instruments to see just how big the universe is. But let's read verses 11 and 12. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped who? Him. Did they worship her? No. We are not to worship humans. We are to bring our worship to the Lord of the universe. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Can I say this to you, that JCPenney and Macy's are glad for that thought? Yes. How many stores stay in business because of Christmas? What a glorious thought that they brought gifts. You know it's a privilege to give to God. Well, let me say that again. That caught some of you off guard. It's a privilege to give to God. And I hope that all of you learn the gift of giving. The gift of giving. Yes. Verse 12 says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I've heard preachers use that term, another way, as a sermon title, because anytime you come to Jesus, you're going to leave differently than when you came. And we are different when we come. But then we find that Joseph and Mary again had to travel. Verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Then he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Traveling. But who traveled the greatest distance? It was Jesus himself. Galatians 4. Verses 4 and 5. For when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. But the greatest traveler was the Son of God. For it says here, as you well know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And then we find the thought in verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How's your life today? Well, we're all travelers, right? Where will our life take us? The Bible clearly says there are two gates. One is wide and broad that leads to destruction, and many travel that one. But then there is a narrow gate that leads to everlasting life, and unfortunately, only a few find it. What road are you traveling? Spiritually, have you found the narrow gate? Have you asked Jesus Christ to become your personal Savior? You know, I believe there are those who are outside that narrow gate. They're standing there and they're thinking, yes, I should enter in at this gate. I know I should. But the world keeps pulling them back. You won't have any fun if you go down that trail. Those people down there, they're narrow-minded. They're not tolerant. They believe there's only one way into heaven. Folks, there is only one way into heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So are you standing at that narrow gate? Or have you gone through the narrow gate? Shall we stand together? The choice is ours. In fact, it is the most important choice you will ever make in your life. That of coming to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Our invitation song is Just As I Am. That's how He wants us to come. Just as we are. And that He will then save our souls if we ask Him, believing that He is Lord and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have the invitation time, we ask, Lord, that You would touch each and every one here this morning. May the Spirit move and convict. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.